Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 441. And tonight, we actually have three things to watch because, for crying out loud, we've actually been catching up on the things.
Yeah, but some of it's going to be pretty short. I, just before we started recording, I watched Star Trek Lower Decks Season 2, Episode 6, and all you have to say about that really is Anomaly Collection Day, that the main characters got roped into going from room to room, collecting all the weird and possibly deadly things that people have picked up on their various adventures as being part of the Cerritos. And the sound work on this was just great. I mean, Tendi gets possessed by some glowing blue cube of some kind and completely loses her shit and turns into a scorpion and goes on a rampage. So that was fun. But also, she gets swallowed by this gigantic slug thing, and when they manage to pull her out of it and Mariner hits it with a hypo spray or something, the squeak that it gives out just before it shrinks back down is just perfect. I mean, you have to go listen to it because it's indescribable.
They talk about no shortcuts on this show. They just really put a lot of effort into everything, including the sound work.
Well, yeah, and the fact that the slug, before it got hypo sprayed, its sound effect was the screaming goat sound, so just even more hilarious.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so that's really fast. We're going to need to take just a little bit longer because we also watched episode 3 of the final season of Beastars.
And we got to meet Lugosi's grandfather, who happens to be a Komodo dragon. And shit gets weird, guys, because the way the Komodo dragon introduces himself to Lugosi, since it's been a while since they saw each other, is he takes some of the venom out of his mouth and puts it in Lugosi's mouth. And it's because apparently Komodo dragon venom isn't deadly to people of the same family. So this isn't an adoption kind of thing. He's his actual birth grandfather. And his grandfather is a pacifist and didn't like the fact that Lugosi stood up for him against some eagles that were trying to get him thrown out of a diner for being a toxic Komodo dragon. And he just wanted Lugosi to let it go. But then when they attacked Lugosi afterwards, he just goes full hardcore battle mode on them, which is apparently something Lugosi didn't know that he could do.
Yeah, a lot of revelations in this one. I have to pause for a moment and ask, is it Lugosi or Lugoshi? Because last week, I think you were saying she and I was saying C, and I honest to God don't know which one it is.
I feel like when he was introducing himself to Haru in season 1, it was Lugoshi. But just don't quote me on that. Just assume that however we're pronouncing it, it's fine.
It's fine. That's no problem. Just like, so we say, is it Louis or Rui? Because the closed captions, I believe, say Louis, but I think in the manga, it's actually Rui.
Yep. And I think sometimes it's actually pronounced Rui in the anime. So who knows? But yeah.
Who knows?
Lugosi, he's actually named after Bela Lugosi, who the creator of the anime was really fond of growing up. So who knows at this point?
No clue. I did want to mention that at the very start of the episode, because we had ended the last episode where the pushers had given him a whiff of this soda that's got herbivore parts in it, and it was like activating the meat lust in his brain, and that's where the episode ended. So this episode started, and he shook it off.
Yep, that's no absolutely problem. It. But as he's walking away, he has this vision of Louis, however we're pronouncing that, telling him to stand up for himself and actually go fight for what he believes in. And what he believes is that it's not right for people to be selling clandestinely or otherwise soda made with herbivores.
Yeah. I forget how we jumped from there to he's sort of walking down the street by himself. He, of course, kicks all of their asses, by the way.
Of course, yeah. Pretty impressively, too.
Mm-hmm. So he's walking down the street, and he's trying to meet up with Haru, and he sees her get off a bus, and he wants to talk to her, and he's about ready to tell her something, and she catches sight of another rabbit, and the other rabbit across the street is like, hey, Wolf, like, you know, stop bothering that person. And she freaks out. She's like, oh, thank you, Wolf, for picking up my change for me. I really appreciate it. Then she runs away. Hi, Dad. And he's like, oh, crap, that's her dad.
Yep. Apparently, she could not even introduce him to her father because I think it was in episode 2, they actually discuss the fact that her mother was a little bit more understanding, but her father was never going to accept the idea of her dating a carnivore, certainly not a wolf.
No, so he's walking away from that and thinking every time he gets closer to Haru, they get pushed apart again, and that's when he bumps into his grandfather and they go into the restaurant. Right. So now we're all caught up.
Oh, and we did have one scene with the B-star, the horse, who was apparently just finished saving a bunch of people from a milk production factory. Now, think about that for a second, how milk would get produced in a world where all the herbivores and carnivores are sentient. So that was, I actually do remember this from reading one of the manga, and it's one of those things, it's ripe for abuses. It's, you know, carnivores in charge of an organization like this pretty much browbeating all of the people working there to take these drugs that make them produce more but have lots of nasty side effects, and then keeping them there longer than they want to be, so they're working extra hours. But fortunately, it looks like the B-star may have saved them now. He doesn't really do a follow-up because he's too busy delivering a soliloquy about how he has 355 degree vision, being a horse with his eyes set on his head, and he used to have 350, something like that. 10% of his vision he doesn't have, so he can't make a perfect world because he can't see all the way around him, but he used to be able to until Goshen, I think it is, whoever it was, decided to not help him anymore. So that's where we leave that.
Yep. Very cryptic.
And gosh, I don't know that I can think of anything else that happened in that episode.
No, it was actually fairly straightforward. Only a few scenes going on there. Straightforward for a weird-ass show, of course. Pretty straightforward. Okay, so lastly, this afternoon, Catherine had said that she saw episode 7 of the final season of Arcane, and I was like, oh, well, I didn't watch that yet, so we'll have to talk about it some other time. And Catherine texted to me, episode 7 was really something, and I was so curious, I sat down to watch it right before we recorded. Oh my goodness, it certainly is something.
Yeah, one word, backstory. Because we get to find out when Heimerdinger and Echo and Jace all got transported by whatever anomaly happened down in the base of the Hex Gate, this is where they went to. And because I remember in last season, Heimerdinger telling everybody we shouldn't pursue magic because it's dangerous. And then when they were studying things that were even more dangerous, he put his foot down and says they're not going to do it. And Jace managed to get him kicked out of the council by saying, well, we have to pursue this because we're humans and we're very short-lived and we don't have time to wait around for things to be safe. So I always had this idea that Heimerdinger was being very reactionary and not willing to take risks. But we see in this episode, he may have actually been right, at least according to this. Yeah. Because, short summary, Echo gets transported to a reality where Hextech was never discovered. And Jace gets transported to the future of a world where it was. And it's unequivocally bad, Hextech. What what it can do and how much better everybody's lives were without it.
Yeah, I really think Jace got the really, really, really rough end of the deal on this, because Echo's back into a time where he and Powder are actually together and it's a really peaceful, happy world. They're all pursuing their dreams. I guess the underworld isn't really an underworld. Everybody seems to be living out in the open and the sun and the sky and everybody's so happy and everything. And meanwhile, Jace is in this world where it's just been blasted by Hextech, and you see all these figures that look like they've been blasted in the process of trying to escape, except at some point they move and start going after him. They're like zombies, and it is wonderfully creepy. Yeah, it's so cool.
Everything, the way they're designed, Jace comes around a corner at one point and boom, you see this panorama of him facing this statue that's like screaming but frozen in place as it's trying to run and it's halfway disintegrated. It's just an amazing image. And all around, you have all those little pops of color from Hextech, but then it looks like it's sort of rotting things from the inside.
Oh, it's beautiful. Both sides are beautiful, because then you go over to where Echo gets to be, and Echo is just, I can't stress how much Echo got the better end of the deal on this one. It's beautiful and it's just steampunky enough to be freaking delightful. I mean, it's and just lovely.
Decorations that are just like bottles hanging from things and little, you know, doodads and everything hanging from everywhere and little beautiful pieces of color. And okay, and the difference in this world is that apparently, because Echo takes a long time to catch on. Don't you just want to smack a character up the side of the head? It's like, you are in a different place now, Echo. Catch up! But yeah. He's like, he's still not sure about Powder, who he knows is Jinx. And she says that they're going to go visit Vi. Well, they're going to a shrine to Vi because she died. And Echo wants to know, did you do it? And Powder is just furious because she was like, we were acting on a tip that you gave us. And it turns out in this reality, what went differently was that Vi was killed in that explosion of those little Hextech gemstones, whatever. And you just see Powder as a little girl and she's holding onto Vi and she's crying. And you see their two friends who are alive and you see like the enforcers come bursting in. But they take off their masks, and it's that one guy that was betraying everybody in season one. Yeah. And he's just like, instantly his face falls because he's horrified because a child just got killed. So it's like all of this stuff that went wrong in our version of the Arcane universe didn't go wrong here, except for the fact that Vi is dead.
Yeah. And of course, Powder is furious at Echo, who is just insisting on misunderstanding everything, and he kind of stomps away. He's determined to get back to his own reality because he's like, I've got people there that need me. But Heimerdinger has been there for 1,000 days, I believe, and he's been waiting for Echo to show up. Heimerdinger's definitely gone native and seems to think it'd be perfectly fine to just stay where they are. And I can understand why, because he always did say that Hextech was bad. But he does finally agree to help Echo. And Echo actually manages to get Powder to agree to help. But one of the ways he does it, he brings her down in this underworld area and he's painted this mural and it's of the Vi that he remembers. But he tells Powder it's from one of his dreams where she grew up to be a badass.
And there's this wonderful montage where you see Echo just kind of acclimatizing to this world and Jace struggling through the other world. I mean, he falls down into a pit and breaks his leg, and you see him like hunched over a fire and this rapid fire series of images of him eating whatever he can get his hands on. And that's, you know, and by the time that's done and his leg's healed enough for him to be able to move again, his beard is all grown out. He's incredibly scraggly. Basically, he looks like he did when he appeared in the last few episodes.
Yeah, I wish I would give this show more credit because we were saying when he showed up, I'm like, what the hell happened to him? Where has he been? Why does he look like that? Okay, they explained in this episode. I needed to have chilled out a little bit because now we know everything.
Yeah, but I mean, in that whole montage, this wonderful kind of like bluegrass sort of minor key guitar song is playing and someone is singing everything. And I was like, wait a minute, that voice sounds really familiar. Well, it turns out it's Heimerdinger playing and singing. So I'm like, who knew the voice actor could sing? That's great.
It's so neat. The music is really wonderful. And there's so many different styles of music in this one, too. There's like this electronic thing, sort of an instrumental that goes on at one point that was very cool. The music at the very end was very cool. I mean, it's all, it's just beautiful. And the animation, God. I'll get to that in a minute. We'll talk about the ending in a second.
So Heimerdinger agrees to help Echo try to get back to their reality. And they do it with these little shards of gemstones that Echo pulled out of the wall where that explosion happened that killed Vi. And there's this lovely montage of everybody working and Powder is helping them as well. And you can see that Echo and Powder are obviously getting much closer. So they managed to come up with a machine that sends people back in time. But Echo manages to determine pretty concretely they can't go more than 4 seconds back. Because at one point, you see this little flash of like a blood spray and bits of Heimerdinger's fur getting flung off. And Heimerdinger's like, are you sure? And Echo's like, trust me, 4. And it's like, so the machine kills Heimerdinger if they try to go back too far?
Apparently, I guess. I don't know. I mean, we saw Heimerdinger. I wondered, is it only killing Heimerdinger because he was in the area, or would it kill anybody? I don't know.
I don't know. But it's all, I think Powder almost believes that Echo is actually working on a competition piece because there's this big mm-hmm. inventors sort of thing. And they get to the night before the competition and there's a party and Powder makes an entrance and she's all dressed up in a pretty dress. And it's just like so yes. unlike anything we've seen from either Powder or Jinx before. And she pulls Echo out onto the dance floor and they're dancing. And it's just, it's not just the designs are great and the music's good and the animation is wonderful. It's a nice dance too. It doesn't look at all doofy. They somehow managed to choreograph two people just dancing along with the music and somehow choreograph together to make this just lovely image. Oh, you guys are going to get so tired of hearing us say that, but we love the animation in this show.
It's so good. So they end up sitting outside and they're kind of talking about, I don't know, they're just talking together, saying something about how sometimes to move forward, you have to leave something that you love behind. I don't know what it is. But she leans forward to kiss him, and I kind of forgot that they do seem to be together in this world. That's like an established thing that they were together.
I don't know. That was what I was going to ask you, because I wasn't sure if they were together, if she had had a thing for him for a while before he, like, you know, this particular consciousness of his from a different reality took over, or if she grew to, like, fall for him in the whole sequence of events as they're getting ready to try to make this machine. So
I wasn't sure about that either up until she leans forward to kiss him. And he's like, oh, and she's like, no, that's okay, whatever, you know. And you can tell she's trying to not get her feelings hurt. But he says, could we just pretend like it's the first time? And that's what I thought that meant, was that they're established, they're together, but he's obviously been going through some stuff and they had this fight and all that kind of stuff. So maybe it was almost like a mini breakup. So she's going forward to kiss him like, oh, like I usually would kiss you. And he's hesitating. And that's when he says, you know, can we pretend like it's the first time? And then they have a lovely, wonderfully sweet kiss.
Yes, yes. So, so you knew that there was going to be some heartbreak, but I really wasn't anticipating the flavor of heartbreak in this one because they do manage to go. Okay, well, first of all, let's go back to Jace, because Jace yes. has managed to crawl out of the cavern where he was and limping across this whole wrecked landscape. And he gets up to the top of where I guess the Hextech blast originated. And there's a statue there and it looks like Victor, but he's sort of frozen in place and transformed into something that looks like it's partly wood and partly made out of flowers. And this entire time, Jace has been seeing this hooded figure with a staff, like just ahead of him. And Jace is just looking at all of this and saying, this is what it all leads to. And he looks at the hooded figure and said, why did you save me? Why did you give me this? And he points to the Hextech gem that he always wears in his bracelet. That's the figure that saved him and his mother when they were yes. freezing to death. So, yes. okay, I'm calling it now. I think the figure is actually Jace as well.
I think so too.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's probably not a really big leap, but I was just like, oh, I'm going to have to say it because I will be happy if I'm right. But that is, yeah, I'm calling it.
Yeah. Oh man, this entire time, geez. So yeah, he ends up telling the hooded figure that he's going to stop it and he will absolutely stop it. And he asks to be sent back to his own time. He says, I won't fail. And the hooded figure puts its hand down on the statue, whatever, of Victor. And the statue, or Victor, or whatever it is, kind of like its head kind of like moves a little bit. And Jace reaches out and holds the thing that it's holding. And its fingers crunch and kind of release it. And Jace pulls it out. And it's that big, giant, weird-looking battle hammer and everything that he had when we saw him a few episodes ago. So that's where he gets it.
Yeah. So there's big splash of magic, and that gemstone, as the hex field is being activated, like melds into his wrist. It's no longer yes. a separate bracelet. It's actually part of him now, and it huge explosion, and he gets sent back. We don't see him anymore in this episode, so we know where he went to and what he did.
Now, that actually happened at the same time as the climactic moment with Echo's scene. So Echo and Powder had been talking, and then you see her, and she's sitting by herself, and she reaches into her pocket, and there's like a little packet there, and I guess it's a present from Echo, and she opens it up, and it's this beautiful little pendant that you can spin, and I think the picture changes a little bit. Like, I think it's a tree, or it's two girls and everything. I'd have to look at that a little carefully, but it's definitely both. Meantime, Echo has gone back downstairs because Heimerdinger said he figured out a way how he could give the machine a temporary boost.
Right. So they get inside the machine and it creates the field and it starts charging up. And Heimerdinger at one point looks up at Echo and says, "You know, since I've met you, I have really felt alive." Back in a flash, and he jumps out of the field and runs over to the power coupling, and he does something, and there's this flash, and he disappears. He's dead. That was what gives it the extra, like, Victor's assistant, I think, getting eaten up by whatever hex thing he was working on actually activated it. So it was just like, this thing, this hex magic eats people, guys. So it's not... I really am amazed, because I always thought the idea was that there was people who would be resistant to progress because everything's got to be safe all the time, and the people who are willing to be daring and try new things, and now they're kind of like, maybe that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know, he was wanting to do what Echo wanted to do, so he just sacrificed himself. But the field is like there and definitely splashy and things are happening, everything, and Powder runs down in time to just sort of run into the room, and you see this field's going on, but Echo is lying there unconscious in front of the field, but she looks up into the field and she sees Echo, but it's our Echo. He's got the face paint and they meet eyes. And I'm telling you, man, it's not just that he smiles at her. There's so much nuance in the expression. I mean, the animators, the painters, the designers, they did such a good job. And it just, it's such a wonderful, bittersweet smile. I can't stand it. It was so good.
That knocked my socks off, seeing that image of him floating there and looking down at Powder. And just this idea that it's like, that the Echo that she knows gets to stay, but the Echo that she kind of fell in love with over the last few days is leaving, and he'll never see this version of Powder ever again. But he said that he told her at one point, "I'll never forget these last few days." And just, oh my God, you guys, it's just perfect.
And then he disappears and she hears a sound, and it's her Echo asking her what happened. And she knows what happened. She knows at this point. I mean, I don't know how much they told her. I'm sure they didn't tell her very much, but I'm sure she knows now exactly, well, the shape of what happened anyway. But she doesn't say anything, you know? It's just, But then the next time you see her, she's putting another incense stick in Vi's little shrine and winding up the little doll that she's got there. And she's got the little pendant that Echo gave her, and she opens up a drawer to put it in.
And inside the drawer is a bag of those hex gems that she had stolen that she never gave to anybody. And you're like, what is that going to mean? Is it saying that she may one day use that? Or is it saying, aha, Powder, she just decided it wasn't important and then forgot about it?
I have no idea. I mean, all that work they did to make their device work with those little shrapnels, and she had like a bag of the gems. I'm like, she had to have known that's what they were looking for, but she still didn't tell them.
No.
So I don't know.
It
honestly could be, because if that's really what killed Vi, I don't know that they made it explicit that it was the explosion that killed Vi. I mean, certainly Vi was dead after that raid, but I don't know if it was the same devastating explosion that we had seen in the first episode. But if that was what killed Vi, that would probably explain why she didn't give it to him. She's like, I don't want to be responsible for any more death.
And how beautiful everything is in this version of reality is a little bit more nuanced than just no magic. Because you see at one point, Vander is tending bar and Silco is helping him, and Silco does not have any kind of like deformity from that happened when Vander tried to kill him. But Echo even looks at him one point and says, didn't he try to kill you? And Silco says, it's like the most important thing in the world is forgiveness. So it's obviously things were slightly different before the raid, I think, that ended up killing Vi, to make the fact that they are working together, so there's not like this armed conflict going on by the time this reality comes around. But you don't know, you have no idea if like were Vi and Powder's parents killed by the enforcers the way they were in our reality? We don't know.
I have no idea. I wondered about the timing of it, because you know how they discovered a letter that Vander was going to send to Silco and apologize for what he had done and everything? When did he write that letter? Was it later or was it earlier and he left it behind? Because it could have been that Vander died before he could give Silco that letter. But if Vander didn't die, which was an event that would have happened after the raid that killed Vi and everything, maybe that's another thing that's caused by the fact that Hextech never got invented. He actually had the time to give the letter to Silco, and I don't know. We don't know. Sometimes the timing is a little odd, and sometimes I think that's done on purpose so that people can't nitpick it to death.
Right, right. And also, I think this might be a reality without Shimmer, so I don't know what that means for the doctor that was trying to save his daughter by inventing something that led to the creation of Shimmer. We don't know. But yeah, the most specific time that we've ever really gotten on the show has been Heimerdinger saying that he'd been there for about 1,000 days before Echo showed up.
Yep, yep. Most of the time, it's kind of vague, but that's fine. Ugh. Oh, my God. We knew this show, the last 3 episodes, were going to break our hearts, but oh, no. They're so going to break our hearts.
So going to break our hearts, but my goodness, it sure is pretty.
Oh, it's worth it. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week, so make sure to check out PixelatedGeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Do you know what I realized I hadn't read this week?
What was that?
I didn't read Saga.
Oh, I think I may actually be more caught up than you were then, because I went to the comic book store and I got a package of Saga comics that I'd been behind on, but not no more.
Okay, so I got to catch up on Saga, and there's a new episode of Nice House on the Sea is out, so I'm like, oh dear, I've got to read that as well. And I did read an episode of Sacrificers, but I got to tell you, later on in the series, it's going so slow. Every single episode, issue, whatever, it just crawls forward incrementally. And I'm like, I'm starting to lose interest. But at some point, I'm going to do like a big wrap-up comic book review. I keep saying I'm going to do that. It'll happen. Of course it will happen.
Well, I'm almost done reading Stephen King's latest short story collection, You Like It Darker. And I don't know that anything's really had that wow factor like I got from some of the stories and things like Everything's Eventual, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing's come close to 1408. That's one of my favorite of his short stories. But yeah, it's Stephen King, so it's going to be enjoyable anyway. It's the sort of thing, it's like, oh, I get a little bit of Stephen King as a treat. But there is a story called Lori, which is about an elderly man who's lost his wife, whose sister gives him a dog so that he can have something to actually care for. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, the story is about learning to deal with grief and trying to love life again. And there is an alligator, and I will tell you right now, nothing bad happens to the dog. You're welcome.
Thank God. Yes, thank God. I just can't concentrate on stories until somebody tells me. I'm like, oh, if you kill the animal, I'm going to be so bummed. Oh my goodness.
I'm not ashamed to say I flipped to the end of the story to make sure of that before I started watching, because I saw that. I'm like, oh no, but no, it's fine.
No. God, jeez. Anyway, all that and more, PixelatedGeek.com. So next week, no Night Vale, because they are still on hiatus, but we got more Beastars. You've got more Star Trek Lower Decks. We've got more Arcane.
We got to watch some Arcane, although I might be playing it out even longer just to drag this whole thing out, because we won't be getting more after the next 2 episodes.
No, I know. But we'll find something to talk about. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later. They managed to come up with a machine that can send somebody back like 11 seconds into the past. But
actually, it's Actually, it's four.
Oh, 4 seconds?
4 seconds.
Oh, yeah, 4 seconds. Yeah, yes, that's it.
Hang on 1 second. Cat, that hurts. No, ow. Out, 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 out. Starts gnawing on me for crying out loud. Go away. And then she disappears. And then,
he disappears.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Was there anything else?
Oh, I think that's it.
I had thought about mentioning it, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to bring the tone of the podcast down.
I'm going to have to talk to you about that. Has there been new words about
it? There's a new article that came out there, apparently.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that on the podcast.
Yep.